Well, good afternoon and evening. It's March 3rd, 2023, and it's 1931 hours. That's Eastern Standard Time. My name is Ward Green. This study today will be, I think, pretty interesting. Little children, but I had a thought a moment ago about something, and now it's gone. Oh my goodness, what was it? I'm doing well as far as my health goes. I'm still a little bit sleep deprived right now. After last night, I didn't go to bed until very late. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed, I guess. But I thought I got about 8 hours sleep. But oh yeah, well I want to remember what I was thinking before I get into the other things, if I can here. I had a thought here, a very interesting thought. Oh, what was it? The main thing is that we read Genesis chapter 3. I think it was because I was reading this, I got this idea. So maybe we should just read it. Little children. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. Yeah, I thought of when I saw this scripture about, well, I was reading, it wasn't any particular scripture, but I was reading it and thinking, well, this is the Masoretic text from which this translation was derived. So it was basically, we're reading the Masoretic text when we read this. And then I thought, well, I remembered a thought I had a day or so ago, was maybe it was yesterday, was the Masoretic text actually derived from, or partly from, the book of Jasher, because the book of Jasher was a much more ancient text than the Masoretic text, and the Jewish people had a great respect for the book of Jasher. And so when we see that there is agreement between the book of Jasher, in the book of Genesis, for example, where Abraham was 75 years old when he went to Haran, which is in agreement between, I mean, the both the book of Jasher and Genesis chapter 12 say that. But the book of Jasher adds many more things that are not in the book of Genesis. So it's interesting. And I thought that was a very interesting thought that I had. It's very possible that the Jews did regard the book of Jasher as an inspired book, whereas we don't today regard it that way, but it still may well have been regarded that way by them at the time it was written. Now we see that there was a problem with the account telling us that Abraham was alive while Noah was still alive, and that is not consistent with the Septuagint Bible, and whereas of course the book of Jasher would have been written shortly after the Jews arrived in the Promised Land, sometime in 1450 BCE, circa 1452 BCE. But anyway, If that's the case, Abraham was, of course, long gone at that point, and so was Noah, even more so. So it's possible that there may be problems with regard to the book of Jasher, where it mentions Abraham and Noah, but that doesn't mean that the whole book of Jasher is wrong. So, I mean, there's a lot more work to do researching these things. That's what I always find. And I never expect to find that. I don't know anything until I study. Until I read. And then day after day, you know, what does that Psalm 19 say? One day after another day. Um, one night after another night shows forth knowledge. Psalm 19. Let's look at that. Excuse me. Cause of speech. One day after another day causes speech to bubble forth, and one night after another night shows forth knowledge. Psalms 19 and 2. Genesis chapter 3. I think this is very instructive. And I thought today this idea of mental health is almost a misnomer, because the brain is not separable from the body. So physical health and mental health are the same thing. And another thing, any health, you can't have your health unless you have one other thing before that. And what is the one thing that's necessary, absolutely necessary, in order to get your health? Well, it is, you must be alive to get your health. Dead people, their health's not so good. Okay, now Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent proved to be the most cautious of all the wild beasts of the field that Jehovah God had made. So it began to say to the woman, "Is it really so that God said, you must not eat from every tree of the garden?" At this, the woman said to the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but as for eating of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you must not eat from it. No, you must not touch it, that you do not die." At this, the serpent said to the woman, "You positively will not die. For God knows that in the very day of your eating from it, your eyes are bound to be opened, and you are bound to be like God, knowing good and bad." Consequently, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was something to be longed for to the eyes. Yes, the tree was desirable to look upon. So she began taking of its fruit and eating it. Afterward, she gave some also to her husband when with her, and he began eating it. Then the eyes of both of them became opened, and they began to realize that they were naked. Hence they sewed fig trees together and made loin coverings for themselves. Later they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden about the breezy part of the day, and the man and his wife went into hiding from the face of Jehovah God in between the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God kept calling to the man and saying to him, "Where are you?" Finally he said, "Your voice I heard in the garden, but I was afraid, because I was naked, and so I hid myself." At that he said, "Who told you that you were naked? From the tree from which I commanded you not to eat, have you eaten?" And the man went on to say, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate." With that Jehovah God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" To this the woman replied, "The serpent, it deceived me, and so I ate." And Jehovah God proceeded to say to the serpent, "Because you have done this thing, you are the cursed one out of all the domestic animals and out of all the wild beasts of the field. Upon your belly you will go, and dust is what you will eat all the days of your life. And I shall put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you in the head, and you will bruise him in the heel." To the woman he said, "I shall greatly increase the pain of your pregnancy. In birth pangs you will bring forth children, and your craving will be for your husband, and he will dominate you." And to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and took to eating from the tree concerning which I gave you this command, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground on your account. In pain you will eat its produce all the days of your life, and thorns and thistles it will grow for you, and you must eat the vegetation of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. After this, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she had to become the mother of everyone living. And Jehovah God proceeded to make long garments of skin for Adam and for his wife, and to clothe them. And Jehovah God went on to say, Here the man has become like one of us in knowing good and bad. And now, in order that he may not put his hand out and actually take fruit also from the tree of life, and eat and live to time indefinite, with that Jehovah God put him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he had been taken. And so he drove the man out and posted at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubs, the flaming blade of a sword that was turning itself continually to guard the way to the tree of life. That's Genesis chapter 3. There's a lot of information there with regard to the original sin that caused fallen Adam and Eve to become the parents of fallen mankind. Born in sin is what that's where that expression comes from, that all of us are born in sin because of the original sin of Adam and his wife Eve. And the prophecy was given about the serpent here, and about the seed of the woman, that the seed of the woman would crush, and will, is prophesied to crush the head of the serpent, or bruised in the head, in other words, and that the serpent would bruise the seed of the woman in the heel, in the way that Jesus was crucified and thereby bruised. But of course he was resurrected by Jehovah, and so he wasn't hurt fatally as symbolized by being bruised in the head. So this reminds us that there are scriptures that tell us about how the rod of the archangel is going to bruise or use his rod. Let's look that up if we can find that. I think it's in Revelation. How often does that word occur in the Bible? Right here, Revelation 19 and 5. The Word of God. The Word of God. In verse 13. Riding a white horse, the Word of God. And he will shepherd them with a rod of iron, the nations, in verse 15, with the long sword also that proceeds out of his mouth, that he may strike the nations with it. So, yeah, he strikes them with his word, and that may cause them to die. So, words are powerful, there's no question. Let's look at that Proverbs 15 and 1. An answer when mild turns away rage, but a word causing pain. That's not it. That's not the one. Hang on. Okay. Proverbs 25 and 15. By patience, the commander is induced, and a mild tongue itself can break a bone. Not word, but tongue. So it's the same idea. A mild tongue itself can break a bone. So words can be powerful enough to kill people. There's no question. And that's what the Word of God does. So it's true that Jehovah will eventually bring justice and retribution upon those who reject life and those who reject righteousness and love and the will of God and His Son, Jesus. Those who reject Jesus will be eventually killed. But adequate time is given, of course, for them to repent. But here, even in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, in chapter 3 and verse 15, the prophecy occurs. It's very familiar to me, this 3 and 15 of Genesis, because we refer to it very often, that Jehovah prophesied that he would put enmity between the serpent, that, or the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman. And the seed of the serpent, of course, are all the haters of Jehovah and Jesus. And the seed of the woman are all the rest of mankind. But more particularly the faithful ones. Because it's the Word of God, of course, who will deliver the final punishing word or blow in the form of words to eliminate the devil from, you know, to eliminate the devil from the earth. He's already been eliminated from heaven, which it looks very clear that happened in 1914, based on the fact that when the devil was cast down from heaven, we saw World War I, or the Great War, as it was called, and then later we had the Second Great War, or the Second World War, because World War I then became the name of the First War, and World War II was the name of the Second War. And after World War II, we saw the nation of Israel come into being on May 14th, 1948. But a lot of things were said in this chapter. As you may well have noticed, little children, he blamed Adam for part of this sin, but he also blamed Eve. But he punished Adam. Interestingly, the punishment that Adam would bear was the cursing of the ground, which would make it more difficult to produce food from the ground, and it would cause pain because of the sin that was thereafter forever part of the genetic makeup of mankind. It was going to be a more painful life than it would have been had Adam not sinned and had Eve not sinned. But interestingly, look at what it says about the serpent in verse 1. The serpent proved to be the most cautious of all the wild beasts of the field. So it was fairly easy for him to perhaps trick Eve, because Adam and Eve knew that the serpent was cautious, so the serpent would be the last creature they would suspect of tricking or trying to trick them, because the serpent was cautious. He wasn't a creature who would be rebellious or adventurous. He was cautious. But somehow the devil, who was at that time able to rove around anywhere on earth or in heaven, and the devil had possessed this serpent to say these things. Apparently. It's interesting, because what does this mean about the serpent and about the devil? I mean, he's called the original, the devil's called the original serpent, the one called Satan, and he's cast down from heaven, right? In Revelation chapter 12, is it verse 7 or where is it? 9. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent, the one called devil and Satan, who was misleading the entire inhabited earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels, which are the demons, were hurled down with him. They're all essentially dead in Jehovah's eyes. The devil and his demons are already dead. They're just angry because they know they have a short period of time. In verse 12, the devil has come down to you having great anger, knowing he has a short period of time. So today we'll make this study short, little children, partly because I want to be good in treating my toxicity. I want to talk a bit about that. Do I still think I'm toxic with vitamin D? I felt really good yesterday. But then today, when I ate more peanut butter on the crackers, they're whole grain crackers, very good crackers. They're Mary's, I think. I still forgot to look at the brand name, but I looked at the ingredients. The thing about the peanut butter, I think the vitamin D in it is causing me some problems. It has vitamin D2 in it, which is not as effective as vitamin D as D3 is, but it's still vitamin D, and so it's. I think I'm toxic with calcium as well as vitamin D, so I need to restrict my calcium more. I ate a piece of cheese this morning. It was a fairly large piece of cheese, like maybe an ounce or two, and that made me feel worse. It was Gouda, which is good cheese, the best cheese, really, one of the best, for the fact that it has vitamin K2 in it. But I felt worse, so that makes me think that I need to restrict my calcium more than that. And after that, I did have a little more calcium because I had a chocolate latte with a bit of maple syrup just to make a little more sugar. But I was very careful. But I think that I feel very good right now. I just need some sleep, so I'm going to go to bed again. But I'm very happy. I just watched that the movie The Adam Project from 2022, which I've seen it before once also. The Adam Project with Ryan Reynolds, it's quite a, and his co-star there, the actor who plays his father. I know him as an actor very well. His name just eludes me at the moment. He played the Hulk too in another movie. What's his name? Okay, the cast. Yeah, I've got that here. Where's the cast? Mark Ruffalo. Oh, and, well, Walker Scobell. Scobell or Scobell? Was really good in the role of the younger Adam Reed. The older Adam Reed having been played by Ryan Reynolds. But, I mean, Jennifer Gardner was wonderful. It was a great movie. Oh, my goodness. Zoe Saldana was wonderful, too. But Mark Ruffalo was particularly excellent. And, of course, well, Ryan Reynolds, can't say his name. Rhino Reynolds? I'm still saying it. Rhino. Ryan Reynolds was, and usually is, I think always is, outstanding. So it was just, it's a great movie, The Adam Project. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. So that's all for today, little children. I enjoyed it. I know I'm feeling great. I mean, I might start rambling here, but I've translated the lyrics for Just a Gigolo from the original German into English. Maybe I'll share that with you. My translation. It's not even in my notebook because what people don't tell you, when you see the songwriting of a great songwriter like, or a team like Rodgers and Hammerstein, they don't tell you how many versions they had of the original song lyrics when they first wrote it, how many iterations there were of the song before they arrived at their final version of it. I mean, there could have been hundreds or maybe thousands. When I write a song, I'm changing the words all the time because when you have to write something initially to start your brain going on it, and then you work on improving it. So now I'm at this version of it. It's called Handsome Gigolo, Sorry Gigolo. March 3rd, 2023. Handsome Gigolo, Sorry Gigolo. Wonder not at bygone ages. When you, as white knight, clad in gold by right, gallop through the streets for wages. Outfit now passé, love has seen her day in a world of beautiful financing. With your heart aching too, no, breaking too. With your heart breaking too, there is nothing you can do. They pay, you must go dancing. That is it. I didn't try to rewrite the verses, but there are several verses of that in German also, of this song. I just wanted to rewrite the chorus because that's the one that is typically performed by people who do their own cover version. But there it is. That's my English translation of it. It's a much more literal translation of the original German version. It says Uniform passé, Liebchen sagt adieu, schöner Welt, du gingst in Franzen. It's interesting, financing in Franzen actually are similar, but they don't mean the same, but it talks about fringes. Fringes is Franzen in German. So financing is my way of translating that. With your heart breaking too, there's nothing you can do. They pay, you must go dancing. Wenn das Herz dir auch bricht, zeig ein lachendes Gesicht. Man zahlt und du musst tanzen. That's the German for that. But it's basically a literal translation of the original German lyrics written by Julius Brammer in 1924. and he's passed away, so his original German, at the time he passed away in 53, I think, or sometime around there, it means that his lyrics are public domain. So this is my translation of those public domain lyrics. There we have it. I wanted to share that with you. I don't know if I'll get to record it or not at this point. There are so many things to do. There is a time for everything, as Ecclesiastes 3:1 says. So maybe everything will take place, but it won't all happen in one day, I don't think, unless it's 1,000 years. But we'll see. So, and I do have 4 versions of that song prior to that one. So that's version 5, essentially. But anyway, okay. This has been a pleasure, and it's March 3rd, 2023, 2002 hours. So there's a symmetrical number. What do you call that? What's the word? Palindrome. And I hope you enjoyed this and have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah and the Messiah, Jehovah's Anointed One, Jesus Christ. God bless you, and bye for now.